Hi again, everyone. Welcome to the program. Steve Schaffner with you again today. We're happy to have with us in studio a couple of guests. We've got Ed Kurt, superintendent of the Margaretta Local School District, and also Diane Keegan, treasurer of the district. And we are going to be talking about, well, a number of topics, but specifically plans to build a new school, which continue, how that's been impacted by the Nexus pipeline issues, and what the community is being asked or being told to, or the information they're being provided about this entire process. And boy, you couldn't have a more confusing situation really develop here, as they're kind of in a one-off situation, Margaretta Schools, as to how they have to deal with this. So Ed, again, thanks for coming today. A lot of this hinges on the Nexus pipeline that folks have, you know, I'm sure they know about it, certainly if they live in Margaretta School District, but throughout Erie County. The pipeline project's done, it's in the ground, it's doing its thing, but then we had the hiccup and the trouble with they appealed the value of the project, which then turns into an appeal situation that goes to Columbus, it ends up in the Supreme Court. It's just a big mess, which puts you guys on hold for the school construction project. So, snapshot today, where are we today, and then I guess, how did we get here?
First of all, thanks for having us in. And the big thing is, like, for people listening, so in June of 22, Nexus prior to that had appealed their taxes to Ohio, and the tax commissioner and Nexus reached a settlement agreement in June of 22. From that point, Margaretta Schools had a groundbreaking in July 11th. We moved forward with some of the money, the short pays that they had given us, do our site work and utility work, because we knew when we did that work, even if there you can't foresee it, but we didn't think there would be, but there was a delay, and that work is still good. So that was good to do that and have that in place.
And that's what people drive by now.
Yes.
They can see that work behind the board office, and they can see the work that's been done.
Yeah, and when we throw the switch again, people that know construction will start immediately with footers and then start the floor and start going up. Mm-hmm. So we'll come out of the ground right away. So that's a good situation. So we had that groundbreaking in July 11th. From that point, there's 13 counties in the state of Ohio affected by this agreement. The Lorain County Auditor did appeal that settlement. It went through, and there was one appeal that was ruled in favor of the settlement, and then it went on to the Ohio Supreme Court. And then the Supreme Court heard that argument, oral arguments, October 24th of 2023. And then finally, just this August, August 20th, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of the settlement going back in place. The auditor from Lorain County had 10 days to file a motion to reconsider. That did not happen. So now we're at the point where the tax commissioner is going to conduct a meeting with the 13 county auditors. They're going to review past payments, past dues, interest rates, and then any possible penalties that could go on it. And then those 13 county auditors will be instructed, because it's not just schools that are affected.
Mm-hmm, correct.
You know that in your position. So a lot of people are affected. And then Mr. Jeffries in Erie County and the Sandusky County Auditor were affected by both counties. Matter of fact, our largest pumping station is in Sandusky County. Mm. So they will issue the taxes out to Nexus. And Mr. Jeffries estimates that will happen sometime in December to the end of the year. And then from that issuance of that bill, Nexus has 20 days to pay the bill. So we anticipate mid-January where we would see the money.
So when we talk about this process too, you guys, everyone knew, and Nexus made the promise of what could come from the taxes from their project. People like it. Okay, sounds good. Pumps through. Still had some worry that the process could happen like it did. But when that project came through and you, as the school district, were looking at things and realizing your facility needs and what they are, you saw the project, you saw the numbers, and when you take that snapshot, when it's done and approved as it was planned, you guys had the chance to say, hey, man, look at what we can do with this. And that's how that process really started. But when you get the hiccups and along the way, that's where the trouble comes in.
Correct. Again, thank you for having us today as well. This is Diane Keegan. And that is the rub here, that in July of 2022, when we thought that we had a settlement and that the money would begin to flow at the settlement amount of 58% of the tax bill and the project cost at that time, we had a viable project. And at that time, with the project cost we had, as well as the 58% share of the tax bill, the financial model worked without any community support or need for the community to help fund that school. This project began at a number around $49 million. And unfortunately, because of all of the delays, we've been collecting taxes for 5 years. Short paid taxes for 5 years from Nexus. We thought we were at the finish line in June of 2022. Those delays, it's all about the time value of money. And those delays have caused inflationary impact and economics. The cost of construction has gone up tremendously. The cost of the financing and all of the interest has gone up tremendously. What we thought in July of 2022 is very different sitting here today. That project started, our pre-K-12 facility started at $49 million, and our best estimate at this time is approximately $67.2 million. So it has gone up tremendously from an inflationary impact on the project, as well as we know the financing side of it, the interest rates have gone up as well. So it's really these delays, it's all about the time value of money. And these delays have really, really stretched us.
So we see those numbers. Diane Keegan again with us, treasurer, Margaretta Schools, also with us, Ed Kurtz, superintendent of schools. We see that project, but to kind of add another thing in the bowl here, you guys are dealing with the state of Ohio. Folks, you know, may have heard, School Facilities Commission, the ability for the state to chip in to help fund this project. And it's more of a percentage of the total cost is what we're talking about, but it is substantial. And when these delays happen and those costs go up, now you have a whole nother thing you have to deal with.
So people have asked us, why did you do the site work and utility work? Well, the reason why is because when you get locked in that 38%, we'll never get that rating again now that you figure that Nexus has given us money. Because if they recalculate now, they're going to calculate that money in there. We won't get 38%. So the fact that we did the site work, utility work at a cost at that time that we can't duplicate now, mm-hmm. and the fact that that work is good, and we know that the 38% is locked in, the big thing we need to do, which we'll talk about in a minute, is our model that we have to move forward. That 38% needs to move forward with costs that we're dealing with.
Right. And, you know, it as you talk about the complications of this, you guys are certainly a one-off here, right? When you're dealing with the appeals on such a level with this, and as the delays, and as Stan mentioned, I mean, just anybody who's going out to buy a house now compared to a couple of years ago, the interest rates have changed, the cost to build a new house or anything that you're building, just tremendous with that. So, now that we get to today, and as you mentioned, we get here and the appeals are dropped and the settlement looks like it's going to go in and it looks like it's going to move forward. But in the meantime, because of the uncertainty and not knowing, oh my goodness, is there going to be another appeal? Is this going to be dragged on even further? You all had to sit down as a board of education and a community, really, and sit there and say, well, this project is definitely worthwhile. How do we make this happen, or how do we protect ourselves from the future? So that's why earlier this summer, the school board decided, well, we're going to maybe have to ask the community to get involved just to kind of make sure that this can continue to move forward.
Yeah, and that's the reason why the board had put the bond on. When we got notification that the appeal or that the ruling came back in favor of the settlement going back in place, and it wasn't, you know, Mr. Snodgrass had dropped his case and it got locked in. Now we know that mid-January, we're going to see Nexus money. We ran the numbers with our financial expert. We have both our owner reps locally, Ted Castor, who's our local owner rep, and Mike Mendenhall is with a consulting company, and they have 20 projects going right now across the state. They ran the budgetary numbers of what our budget would look like right now with true cost. We have a model in front of us that will work, and because of that reason, because of current assessments, because of everything on the ballot, presidential election, we tried to be responsive to our community. We today pulled the bond issue off the ballot. We still have a renewal levy on the ballot, which is critical because if we don't, that's no new money.
Correct.
And we need to keep the renewal levy because it keeps Nexus's commitment where it is. Removing any Nexus commitment down the road will push more towards local responsibility. So we want to hold them to their commitment. That renewal is no new money, and it's so important to us. That's still on the ballot. We need, we have that still on the ballot. And then moving forward, we have a viable option to move forward and fund the project with the Nexus money, but two things need to happen through OFCC. The 38% needs to move to today's value of cost of building the building. And sometimes they have a window of when they give you the money. We kind of need to lock them in to 3 years from now to be able to get the money or part of the money in a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
And just to elaborate on that issue, understand that if you think about it in simple terms, we are going out to finance $67 million project. And that financing, we have to have funding in place and the commitment to cover $67 million for this project in order to let the contracts loose to begin the process of construction. So we are out looking to finance $67 million. And at the end of the day, we're going to take all of the cash we have on hand, the proportionate share of the Nexus past dues, and we're going to apply it against that $67 million to try to bring that number down a little bit. We're thinking somewhere in the neighborhood of $58.5 million by the time we use up our cash, basically, that we should have in the bank by the time they pay the past dues. But at the end of the day, if you think about it, we have to go out and finance that big number, call it, $60 million. OFCC is going to pay us 38% of what was originally $49 million, and we have that commitment of $18 million. We're hoping that they're going to honor or understand the economic impact of this project and how we got to $67 million and help fund that 38% of that inflationary factor. But understand that we still have to go out and finance close to $60 million. Whenever OFCC down the road kicks in that payment, it's a huge chunk of money.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point, when that money comes from the state of Ohio down the road, that will go directly against principal, and then we'll refinance the project. And at that point, we really have a reasonable amount of repayment a year, because obviously you take a huge chunk off of the right off the principal, it changes the model dramatically.
Right.
So our big issue is bridging and making it
right
in that gap between now and when we get the money from OFCC.
Well, and another thing I want people listening to understand is the total project is 67.3.
Right.
We're estimating. But because we've been smart with our payments and the fact that we've paid architecture fees, that we've done site work and utility work, that we still have money to pay down, we can get the financing down to 58.5, which really helps the project, and then we can move forward. So we've made moves that were smart moves
right
with all the curveballs we've been thrown.
Unbelievable how you've been able to kind of waddle through this. And it's not quite the same. It's clearly a lot more involved, but if somebody's doing a house and refinancing a house, and like you're saying, all of a sudden, if you do get a lump, you come in here and now you can chunk down that principal, as you mentioned, sizably, and then refinance again and roll it off and off you go.
So, our owner rep that's down in Chillicothe, he's managing 20 projects right now across the state. Diane asked him last night, it's pretty interesting. She said, well, what other cases in the state can we compare ours to? And he said, one. And she said, who? You. So, we have a rare case. So, when we go to OFCC, and the nice thing is we've had them at the table in every one of our executive facility meetings. They know our story. We have a good story to tell. It was something that happened to us that we had to manage, and we think we've done a really good job managing it so far. And if we can get a couple more steps here, we're in a great position.
Just tremendous. And as you mentioned, too, getting that the site work done, whatever people might call that, but they can see the foundation work. They can see all of that work done. Again, that was basically paid with cash. And we're not talking, 100 grand here. We're talking millions that were a part of this project that goes through, and the ability for you guys to keep that number. We know what the cost is. You know, here's the price tag to build, 67 plus million. But because of what you've been doing and how you've been able to manage this, the actual debt service is going to be much less. And then if and when the state can kick in and do their part, it comes down again. It's amazing to think, but I can't imagine the hoops that you have to jump through. It's one thing to do it if it's your house or, you know, but when you get the government involved, oh my, forget about it. That has to just be incredible hurdles to jump over.
Yes. And the good news is, remember, Nexus has been paying us, albeit short pays, but they have been paying us a portion of the taxes. So we've actually paid cash about $4.8 million of this project already with site and utility prep work, our architectural designs. We have been as frugal as possible with the money we have on hand to potentially pay incremental costs that we can afford to pay before we have to go in and do the full-blown financing. Unfortunately, we're at a point where we need to let like 30 contractors loose. And so there's no more little chunks of incremental construction that we can do with the cash on hand without going after the whole project. So that's why we have to show proof that we have financed and we have financing in place for the entire remaining amount, less our cash on hand, to the 58.5. And the other nice thing is when we did the site and utility prep work and the architectural work back in 2022, remember, again, inflationary cost, right? Schools are limited on where they can invest their dollars and how much they can get on a rate of return for that investment. When we look at the economics that have occurred since July of 2022, that site and utility prep work we're estimating at least $1 million higher than what it was back then. So that $4.8 million that we spent way back in 21-22 was well spent, and that site and utility prep work has no, it doesn't erode. There's no concern about having to do any rework. And for the investment that I can get on the money in the bank compared to the inflationary impact of that site and utility prep work was a really good decision for the district.
You know, and joining us today, Diane Keegan, treasurer, and Ed Kurt, superintendent of Margaretta Schools. And I remember you drove me out there. I stopped by and after the stuff was in the ground and looking around and knowing, and the locals who know, and certainly those who live in the school district or live in Castalia and around there know that. My wife taught for a year at the old high school, and the facilities, certainly what you have now, needs an upgrade. And I remember just the kind of the overwhelming snapshot, even though I was just looking at foundation work and site and the size and scope of what it could be. And then you were showing me some of the renderings of what it will eventually look like. And it's just staggering for what that means to the community, to the county, and really to this region. Because you mentioned it's kind of crossing county, where you're right there in that corner. This is a life-changing, generational-changing opportunity for the district to move forward with.
Well, you know, it's a long-term district goal. In 1968, the Board of Education at Margaretta annexed Venice Heights to Sandusky City Schools. They took some of that money from that, and they bought that farm where the board office sits. My office is an 1847 building. It's the second oldest house in Castalia. And that site is where the new school will be built. That board in 68 made the statements that it's there for them to address future facilities. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting in a 1913 middle school and a 1922 high school. And I'm telling you right now, it's 85 degrees out.
Oh.
The third floor of the middle school is plus 100.
Yeah.
And the third floor of the high school is plus 100. And people say, well, that's not a big deal. I went to school there. Well, when people are used to living in HVAC climate controlled environments, when people have asthma and health issues, when people have handicap issues, that building is not conducive to any of those things. And we've had to really worry about some of our staff that are having health issues. We've had to worry about our students who have handicaps. And it's hard to manage. We move classroom teachers to different levels of the building so students can get to their teacher.
Mm.
And you might not think that's a big deal, but if you run an educational institution, it's a big deal. And when you're out of your classroom and you don't have all the resources that you use to teach kids, and you got to take 5 or 10 minutes for a kid to run up and get what you needed, that's not conducive to the best learning practices to put in front of kids. So we think we're doing a great job. We have a great staff. We're proud of our literacy initiative that's gotten some recognition here recently. The school's not the building. The school and the church isn't the building. It's what happens inside the church, and it's what happens inside the school. So we're really working to make our school better so that when we do get to go to the new sanctuary or the new facility, we're doing things that are really helping kids, and our instructional practices are on point, and we're trying to do as many things as we can to get ready to go to that new facility.
Yeah, and I'll speak for just a moment, too. I'll put my other hat on, right, from the county commission side of things. And when we talk and see about wanting to have a responsive government and a responsible government and bodies that do things that are in charge of some of the public dollars, and when we see that the school board made the decision to put this issue on the ballot, the bond issue on, because they're like, look, right now, snapshot, we need it. But they said at the time, we'll reexamine this, and depending on what happens, we'll take steps to do something. And here they did, so that the average Joe out there now might say, oh, wait a minute, isn't there a big levy or something on it? And now it's gone. It's not going to be on the ballot here in November. Renewal, yes.
Very important.
Not the bond, though. And there you go. You take steps to modify a situation, and you talk about curveballs being thrown at you guys. Just amazing.
Well, one other thing, before we started recording, we talked about, we've had community meetings and we've taped them, and we can view who looks. We've had 3,700 views at Little Margaretta Schools of them watching those videos. I'll go up to Castay Market and people will talk to me, engage me, and they're taught, they listen to the video. They know the information. So we'll have to do another one of those here coming off the OFCC meeting and keep our community involved with what we're doing. I mentioned earlier about proud of some things. You know, we're Little Margaretta Local Schools, and there's 800 and some high schools in the state, and, 600 and some districts. And Fordham Institute is a entity that looks at education. They just came to Margaretta and did a literacy grant or literacy video on us. It's on the front page of our website. We're very proud of it. And we actually testified in front of the Senate Education Committee on Literacy this last spring. And if people want to know the biggest effects of COVID, teaching young children to read and speak with a mask on was impossible. And literacy, and I'm a high school math teacher, but I'm telling you, literacy and reading was hurt the most through the COVID experience. And we're really proud of our little district of how we're attacking that and trying to help our students. And that video is out on our Facebook page, that Fordham Institute video.
Our guests again, Ed Kurt, superintendent, and Diane Keegan, treasurer of Margaretta Schools. And the news positive now, the bond issue withdrawn from the ballot here in November. But this project, the new school construction, the game changer for the district, moving forward now. And as you mentioned, potentially the funding will start rolling probably right after the first of the year. Best case scenarios now, timing wise for folks, and when will they actually maybe see some trucks and equipment and things moving around out there?
So we have to have that OFCC meeting and make sure that those two metrics get in place for the funding model, so our treasurer, Mrs. Keegan, can roll with our financial guys and get that in place. And once we get that, we think March 1st we can be rolling, and it would be a straight shot 18 to 20 months and we'll be in the new school.
Unbelievable. The future is so bright and is so exciting for Margaretta Schools, but really for that region, the county, the region, township, all of that, Castalia. Very exciting times. Diane Keegan, treasurer, Ed Kurt, superintendent. Diane, anything else that you want to make sure that maybe people understand or maybe expound upon a little bit more about what you've gone through?
Well, it's definitely been a roller coaster ride. Good thing we're here in Sandusky, Ohio with Cedar Point, right? It's been a lot of ups and downs along the way. You know, we never, ever expected any counties to appeal the June 2022 settlement that the tax commissioner had put in place. But here we are. It went all the way up to the Supreme Court, lots and lots of appeals along the way. So it's definitely been a roller coaster, ups and downs, and it is crucial. It is crucial for us to be able to move forward to get some type of commitment out of OFCC. Those are big numbers. The inflationary impact of them funding the $23.5 million instead of the $18 million and giving us that funding sooner, because as I mentioned before, we are those payments. I mean, think about it from a house perspective. If you're out financing $58.5 million, those payments, those annual payments are big numbers, really big numbers. And so the sooner we can get and hopefully get the inflationary impact and get that $18 million up to closer to $23.5 million, which is 38% of the new values that we're estimating, and we can get that money sooner, that is a huge influx of cash into the principal. And we just, it's going to be really, really, really tight. Even if OFCC pumps in that $23.5 million sooner than later, that period of time before we get that injection from the OFCC is going to be really, you know, tight. Mm-hmm. And so it's that bridge that we just have to get to where we can get that principal down and get to manageable payments after that.
Well, to the both of you, thanks for stopping by. We will definitely be touching base again as this process moves forward. And Ed, I can't wait to get out there and start seeing some things next spring, next summer, and all of those exciting things that'll be coming up along for this project, because it's just, it's kind of mind-boggling. I bet to a lot of folks who have grown up and have been around Margaretta schools, whether they're a football fan, basketball fan, they've been going into those schools for years. And when you get a chance to not just dream about it anymore, now you're going to see the reality. It's just spectacular.
So every decision, direct or indirect, in our business has to be about kids. And what I'm excited about is our learning environment and the facilities and what our kids can experience in those facilities just excites me. And I can't even tell you how much I want to take you on a tour of the construction site.
Yeah.
And then I want to take you to have the commissioners out for the groundbreaking. And I just think that'll be a great day for Margaretta schools and the whole area.
Outstanding. Again, our guests today, Diane Keegan, treasurer, and Ed Kurt, superintendent of Margaretta Local Schools. Guys, thanks again for showing up, and we'll talk again soon.